Nardos Osterhart was born in Ethiopia, but political turmoil took her family to Germany and then Oklahoma as a child. But it's here in Michigan that Osterhart has found her real calling, stand-up comedy. In 2013, she was named the funniest person in Grand Rapids. And this year, she's taken her unique story and turned it into a one-woman show called Hafrican. She's bringing the show to Louie's Back Room in Kalamazoo tonight. I talked with Osterhart at her house in Grand Rapids. She says diving into stand-up actually came from trying to overcome her fear of public speaking at work.
I mean, you've heard of like Toastmasters, you've heard of the Dale Carnegie program. They were all only available during the day, so that would always conflict with my work schedule. So I just kept thinking about other options, and my husband and I have always been fans of comedy, and we'd been to a comedy club downtown, Dr. Grin's and the Bob, and we were aware of an open mic night that they held there and thought about that opportunity. And I know it wouldn't make sense to anyone else, but I just remember looking back, there were many people that got on stage for 3 minutes to say whatever they wanted, and they weren't always funny, but they sure had presence and they sure had confidence. And I just remember thinking, man, if I could do that, which I can't imagine doing right now, but if I could do that, then I would be completely improved and comfortable in front of my peers and a room full of colleagues. So that's an option.
What was the first show like for you?
Terrifying. So, Robbie, I sent out an email making a request of stage time at this place that I'd never ever set foot on stage before. And I thought that it would kind of just go into an abyss and I'd never hear back from them. But immediately, Stu McAllister, he's the MC for Dr. Grin's, reached out truly 30 seconds after I sent that email and said, here's your date. It's December 2nd. I'll see you soon. You've got 3 minutes. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's easier than I thought it would be. So I panicked. I walked from one room to the next and told my husband what I was doing. And he turned off the television and looked at me to say, what? What are you really doing? I can't imagine this for you. I'm really suddenly afraid for you. So I thought that I would have to work on jokes. And clearly that was my next step. And he said, what jokes? You don't have any jokes. What are we going to do? And I appreciated that it became this team approach and that we would have to figure it out together. And I remember writing a few jokes, sharing them with my husband and saying, is this funny? And he would say, no. And I said, how about this? Is this funny? And he said, no. And I said, is this funny? And he said, kind of. And so I thought, okay, this is going to be helpful because I've got an honest critic that will tell me what I should work on and what I should throw out. So I did that. That was my approach.
It was interesting. I went and watched a few of your videos.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No.
I have to do some research,
yeah,
of course. Yeah. So I went and I watched a few. And it's interesting to, like, see your humor. And I think this was probably back before you actually had your show that you were doing,
yeah,
at this point. But so much of it, even back then, it seemed like was very personal to you and was about your background and your ethnicity. And was that something that was very natural for you to do? Was that the stuff that was getting the response?
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, Rob. I remember asking the first comic, Stu, what I should do. How do you decide what to say and what jokes to start writing? And he had said, be original, be yourself. The more you do that, you'll never have to worry about people stealing your material because they can't be as specific as you without people realizing that's a total ripoff. And it's genuine. That's what comes across as relatable or appreciative to the crowd. So I think that's where I started, and I've kind of stayed there because I feel like comics talk about what's a hacky joke or a hacky premise. It's something that's been done so many times that it feels like anyone could write that joke. And I think the more personal you get, the more interesting it is, and the less likely anyone has thought of saying it yet, but has maybe had it in their mind, but you've put it down on paper and shared it with the crowd.
So putting together the show, did you feel like you had a story to tell as well that you wanted to tell?
I did, Robbie. And I remember thinking, maybe people would enjoy understanding the background for this material. So what if they knew where I was coming from? Would they laugh a little bit more easily? Would they feel less conflicted about what I'm saying, where race matters or where gender matters or where culture clashes matter? So I decided over time that what I would write is a one-woman show, that it would have two parts, and the first part would be the story of my life, because people have said they think it's an interesting one, and I've never thought it was an interesting one. I figure everyone just has, you know, some story to tell, and mine's not that unique, aside from the fact that I'm an immigrant, but who isn't, really, if you go back far enough? So I thought I would tell the story of my life, and then the second part of my one-woman show would be me telling jokes in a sequence that correlates with the story of my life.
Can you give me an example of how you would, like, set up a joke in the first half of an act and then have it almost pay off in the second half of your act?
Well, then no one's going to come to my show.
Just one joke.
Okay, so there's a part in the first act. I'm talking about a time in my life when I was really young, when my father was unemployed. My mother has left, and so my brothers and my dad are all that's left, and my dad's the only person that we can lean on for everything, and he decides to quit his job. So now we feel like we're, you know, completely screwed and have no opportunities as far as going forward and having the things that we need. So with all of that in place, my dad just goes through a series of kind of just selfish encounters to meet his needs, and I think clearly he was depressed at the time and feeling also like he didn't have a lot of options. But telling that story and telling the story of what my brothers and I had to kind of do to be a little bit more independent then leads to the second act, where I tell a joke. This is the joke, if you want to hear it. You know, growing up, we were really broke. I remember my dad would just spend hours just filling the space of our government housing with his expert nonstop whistling. He would brag about how great he whistled. And the only thought that ever occurred to me was, how about a full-time job? Could you get great at that? Because I'm pretty sure it's whistle while you work and not instead.
That's great. That's so good. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So, you know, it really happened. There were these just strange long stretches growing up where my dad wouldn't work, and we just looked at each other and thought, he's suggesting that this is a relief to him and this is more of a stress-free life, and we're feeling more stressed out. So how is this gap going on? It's just interesting.
You talked in an interview with Review Magazine a few years ago or a few months ago about your father telling you as a child to hold on to your culture and values from Africa. Do you think African is a part of a way to do that for you?
I think in some ways African is a bit of an explanation to people, to Ethiopians that I don't necessarily connect with, because I don't have all of my culture intact, and also an explanation to Americans why I am the way that I am. And it's a little bit permission to myself to accept who I am, because I've had to make changes and deviate from, I think, a cultural path and expectation that was set in front for me.
That was comedian Nardos Osterhart. She'll be performing her one-woman show called Hafrican tonight at 8 p.m. at Louis's Back Room in Kalamazoo. To hear our full interview with Osterhart, head to our website. For WMUK, I'm Robbie Feinberg.